I'm Linda Nguyen. I'm the creator of BenMe Podcast and now BenMe Media. I'm doing podcasts, video, and events talking about Asia and Asian cultures.
Welcome to The Vietnamese. I'm your host, Kenneth Nguyen. Being part of a culture of nearly 100 million Vietnamese people in the world today comes with a lot of pain, proud history, and privilege. Join me as I highlight and explore the Vietnamese experience from all over.
It was great meeting you in person when you came out to California just recently. And I wanted to ask you, after this trip, you know, I want to really get into what were some of the biggest difference that you noticed between the French entertainment industry for Asian people and the United States and California?
So what I can say is, so first of all, thank you, Kenneth, for inviting me in your podcast. And also, I was so surprised that the person that I met the first day, the first night of my trip was you with a bunch of other guys, creative people from the entertainment industry and all Vietnamese. So it's really something that we are not used to in France. And what I can say about the entertainment industry in France and the Asian communities in this industry is that it's not as advanced for sure as in the United States. I've managed to organize an event earlier this year in 2023 during a festival like Asian Film Festival. They focus on Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And during this festival, I managed to organize a roundtable with different Asian, you know, like from the cinema industry. And we were about in the room more or less 30 people. And I think it was the first time ever that we gather that much people in the same room. And it was in 2023. And I think, you know, like in United States, it has been like, you know, like you have done things like that probably like 30 years ago. So the thing is that, you know, like when we see, you know, like Michelle Yeoh winning the Oscars, Ke-Huy Quan winning the Best Actors, we're like in France, we're like, oh my God, America is in the future, you know? And then us in France, we are struggling to have like at least one face, you know, like only one face. Not we are not talking about two faces, Asian faces, just one. And like Steve that you met also, Steve Tran, he's an actor for more than 20 years, and he's almost, you know, like one of the few that we see on screens. And I think he's he has this hope that other faces can break through, you know, like on the French cinema, French entertainment, like for Asians. And yeah, this is the big gap that we can witness. And during our whole trip, we met with different and diverse personalities and people. And a lot of them, they are producer, filmmaker, Asian. And it was, I don't know, like for in France, for example, like most of the time we are talking about, we need at least only one production, one producer, Asian. Where is this person? And then in 2 weeks' time in LA, we met like almost every day a new producer. So it was like, what is this world?
I have so many questions about your answer. I guess, did you know that that was going on in the United States?
So I had an idea from my perspective through the streaming platform like
Yeah.
Netflix, for example. So basically, so this episode is not sponsored by Netflix, but Netflix really, lead me to find other stories, like the stories that I can find some people who looks like me. Like the first movie that I wanted to watch on Netflix, and the reason why I get the plan, it was the film of Angelina Jolie, First They Killed My Father, about the Cambodian War. And then after that, I found out, stand-up comedians like Ali Wong, Ronnie Cheng, Aziz Ansari, the latest TV series, Beef, also Alan Yang, with his movie called Tiger Tail, his stories about Taiwan. So many stories, like Asian stories that we want to relate to and that we cannot find in France. So I knew that something was going on in America, but I didn't know that the Vietnamese community was as advanced also.
Yeah, I am very proud of the Vietnamese American film community because they have been, like you said, at it for 30 years at least. And I wonder why France doesn't have the numbers. Is it because the amount of Asian people in France, or is it because it's truly an oppression of the voices of Asian people from in France?
So the biggest Asian community in Europe is in France. So this is first thing. So it's not about the number. I think it's about the politics. There's one thing that you guys in the United States that we don't have is representations, quotas, diversity in any kind of stage, like from actors to producers to for us, they will put just for the sake of representations to have like this one Asian guy as an actor. But the decision maker, who are they? Are they Asian? No, they always the same because they don't input this. I don't mean that the quotas is the solution for everything, but I mean
It
it's working
helps.
in it helps and it's work it works in the United States. So why not, having also our voice in France to have this representation? And this is what I live that also, like where when I was living in Asia. And then people will talk to me and asking where do I come from, and I'm saying I'm French, Vietnamese, Cambodian, and they were like, "What? There's Asian in France?" And it translates everything about how France are putting
Right.
Asians on. They don't put Asian anywhere, like it's but it's starting slowly because they can see that there's a trend, and now the big luxury brand, like LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Celine, Hermes, whatsoever, they are putting Asians, but they are Asians from Asia. But we want to tell them, hey guys, there's Asians in France too, and we are also talented. Where you have singers, you have actors, you have like content creators, you have like journalists. But if you don't dig, if you don't look for them, you will they won't, like you will never find them, like if you think that they don't exist,
I'm so grateful for you to share that because I want the audience, especially the Vietnamese Americans, to appreciate what we have now, which is, many decades of fighting for representation. And You know, if we can, as the Vietnamese American entertainment community, support France, the Vietnamese French, to understand the process and support with information, support with any kind of amplification that we can, I think that's going to be beneficial in creating bridges that are, you know, between France and the U.S. Vietnamese communities. So I really appreciate your sharing the struggles that you face, because we need to be thankful here in America about the representation. But we know that there's a battle, a fight to bring this kind of representation still in the U.S. and as well in France.
Yes, and you know, like one of the we are following a lot the journey of Chu Hiep Chang Ye.
Right.
You know, like he's a French Vietnamese actor, and he has been acting for the last 20 years, like since he has been retired in France, and he will do extras in French films as. And thanks to a short from Maximilian Badier Rosenthal, who won the best short, I think, last year for the Viet Film Fest. So the producer, Jess Vu, you know, like she just see Chu Hiep in the film, and she was like, okay, this is the guy that we need for the Getaway Driver.
Yes.
The Accidental Getaway Driver. And then we were so proud in France to see him, you know, like going through this journey, being the lead character, being in the front of the screen and being the Vietnamese character. But it's in the US, and probably maybe thanks to this film, like French people will realize, oh my God, this guy is actually French. So we need him for other films, you know?
Absolutely.
So sometimes, you know, like this is one of the struggle in France, is that French industry or French people will recognize you when you do something overseas. And then after that, they're like, okay, this guy, it's, you know, like him. An actor that we want to have him in our film and so on. But before America, maybe not, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So we're also like thankful for what's going on, you know, like on your side to help us like to showcase also like the talents that we have also in France.
I am so proud of what Chu Hiep did with The Accidental Getaway Driver. His work was phenomenal in the movie. And I got to see it at the beginning of this year in 2023 in Sundance Film Festival. And I remember watching the movie, thinking to myself, like, this man is from Little Saigon here in Orange County. And then when he goes up to give the question and answer Q&A, he starts speaking in Vietnamese. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then he switches over to French. And I think he thanks his wife or his family. And he starts speaking French. And you're just like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful situation for this older man, because you can see he finally gets the recognition for being French Vietnamese. And he wants to display that to the international community that he is from France. And it's so such a proud moment for this actor.
Exactly.
Yeah, we found it amazing. So what got you into podcasting?
I was born and I grew up in France, and I follow like international business master, because I knew that I wanted to probably like work overseas. So after my graduation, I take a ticket and a visa to Singapore. And then I stayed in Asia, like Singapore first and Hong Kong and then Bangkok in Thailand. So I lived in Asia for 8 years, from 2012 to 2020. And on my last job in Asia was marketing manager for the region for a French beverage company. And I think what I love the most in my job there was traveling around and see different people in Asia, and see how diverse is Asia. Because since I'm young, I had the chance that my mother could, send me to Vietnam to see the family, and I thought that Asia was like Vietnam, like everywhere in Asia was like Vietnam. And in my studies, I have an exchange program. I went to South Korea in Seoul for 5 months, and I was like, oh my God, this is not Vietnam at all.
Wow.
And yeah, and then same for my career, like I had to travel to China, to Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Japan, many places. And I am very grateful, and yeah, I'm very grateful of this of my experience in Asia, because this makes me realize we are so small in this world, and then Asia has so much resources in terms of cultures, cuisines, like languages. And yeah, so that was the first point. And then the second is that when I was living in Asia, I realized how much I was French and how much I was Asian. Why? Because like whenever I go in a city in Asia, it's Taipei or let's say Kathmandu in Nepal, like people will thought that I'm local. They will start to talk to me in their language.
Right.
And it's an icebreaker, and I start to tell them, okay, I'm not Taiwanese or I'm not Nepalese. I'm French, Vietnamese, Cambodian. And so this is how I realized like how Asian I was because of my face, and how French I was because when I'm starting to say that I'm French, they're like, they know at least one thing about France. Like France has this visibility, like cultural, they are on the first place on the stage of the world, so everybody knows France. But nobody knows that there's Asian in France. And also, like sometimes I will, met some random French tourist in Asia, and they were like, oh, you talk a very good French. And I'm like, I'm
I am
French.
French.
I'm French, yes. And they're like, yeah, but you don't have any accent. I say, yeah,
Because I'm French.
because I'm French. So, it's funny, like this, all this like makes me realize, okay, I didn't know much about Asia before living in Asia. And a second thing is that there's no representation in France about Asian people. Even though we are like probably like more than 2 millions, and we are the biggest communities in Europe, Asian people in France. So I want to meet these Asian people. Like, so I come back to France in 2020. I was supposed to go to Portugal to start something in Portugal, but the lockdown came. And this is how, like lockdown with my mom. And I start to read, to write, and I write my first articles, and I launch my blog. I call Banh Mi Culture, and then I was into the podcast. I feel like podcasts really get you immersed into the conversation and into the feelings of the people and so on. So I wanted to, like starting doing my podcast as well, and I call it Banh Mi Podcast. And Banh Mi is very symbolic for me. It's first of all is the sandwich that my mom is doing for all our, like travels. And it's a sandwich that I introduced to my French friends that didn't know about Banh Mi. And it's also what I am, a French baguette. And Asian ingredients
Sorry.
inside. And
Wow.
when I was living, and when I was living in Hong Kong, I had a friend. He's Indian Hong Kong. He's born in Hong Kong, but he's Indian. And he told me, "Yeah, Linda, you're banh mi." And I say, "What?" I say, "Yeah, you're French Vietnamese. You're banh mi. Isn't it the same thing?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And yeah, it means so much things. So yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. There's another podcaster out there, Randy Kim, with Banh Mi Chronicles, and it was also a podcast. But the interesting thing about that podcast is Randy is Vietnamese Cambodian as well. So it's
Wow.
like two people who have Banh Mi in their podcast titles, but also Vietnamese Cambodian.
Oh my God, it's alignment. I
Yeah.
don't
So
know.
interesting. Yeah. So
Yes.
such an interesting thing. So you got started in 2020, and before you got started, what did you think that you were going to be doing in terms of podcasting? What did you have to prepare for? What was your vision for the podcast?
I didn't have any vision, like I think I just wanted to, what happened when I was in Asia is that I travel a lot, like all my savings will go into travel, either alone or either with friends. And whenever I'm traveling, I love to meet local people. This is my thing, like going to local food, like very, like down the streets and so on. And for me to understand like who they are, what they eat, and if they have stories to tell me, and then like for me to, like just I'm feeding, like my thought and my soul with that. And many times happen that I'm like, oh my God, this conversation is so interesting. I would record it. And I think it started from that, is that I'm during my journey in Asia, I got so much inspiration from the people that I met. So I'm like, okay, so now probably I could start with the podcast so I can record it, and so for me to listen back to it, and also to share with my friends and with people who can find who can listen to it, and feeling that it can resonate with their own stories, or maybe can plant a seed in them, like they plant a seed in me to become another or best version of myself, thanks to these people, thanks to this person that I just met. And I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, that is a really profound reason to start, because really I think podcast starts with our curiosity about the world.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, and from a thing to another, I started the podcast and the blog, and then I apply also for to be for an incubator. So I've been selected twice, like once for 6 months and another one for 9 months. So I feel like, okay, there's people in France that believe in what I'm doing right now. It was like out of my simple curiosity. And I was just thinking, oh, it would be like something that I can pass my time with, like a hobby or something. And then I realized that more and more I was like baby step by baby step, I can see that there's an audience and there's also like people who wants to help me. So first, an illustrator. She created my logo. She created the first illustrations. Like every episode that released, you got a teasing illustration. And she started like, okay, let's go with probably like three or four illustration, and we will see if our collaboration is doing well. And she's still with me like 2 years and a half later. And yeah, and then a girl for the for community manager, like a guy who is not Asian, but His kids are mixed Asian and he's really into Asian culture. He really, the episode that I was released. And he was like, okay, I'm a photograph. I really want to do the photo of your recording with your guest. And from a thing to another, I have my mentor. He's a French Vietnamese artist, and he's like, Linda, what you're doing is great, podcast and everything, but go another step, go further, do film podcast. And I say, yeah, but I don't have the gear, I don't have the camera, I don't know how to edit, and if I call someone, probably it's gonna be a cost, and I'm not sure that I have the resources for that. And he's like, okay, just ask around and tell me how much it will be, and I will see if I can help you. So he was my first, how
Sponsor.
do you call that? Sponsor? Yeah, he was my first sponsor, and my podcast turned into videos thanks to him. So he just gave me the opportunity to bring out something else that I haven't imagined. So when you asked me, Kenneth, what was my vision with the podcast, I was like,
No
I
vi
didn't have, yeah, I had no vision, and I didn't know that, four months later I will do film podcast. And then it just keep on going like this, season one closed with three filmed episode, and then season two I started with a crowdfunding to keep on going with the film podcast, and I reached the amount that I needed to keep on going with that format. And now we are on season three, and we are still doing video, and we have
Wow.
still our audience, growing up, and yeah. So it's I will say that I think sometimes you don't have a precise goal, but you just have your guts and your heart telling you something that you pass to action without thinking. And it's just like you're doing it because it's in you. So I think this is something that I had. And even now, we are now doing a collab with Uniqlo. I haven't imagined, in January 2023 that, okay, this year I'm gonna do a collab with a big brand. No, never. It's starting slowly, growing up, and then we are challenging our ideas with the team. Now we are about 20 volunteers in Banh Mi Media team, and yeah, it's like an organization now. And I didn't expect that when I started my first episode of the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Songkhai Distillery, my only go-to gin company. Established in 2018, Songkhai Distillery is Vietnam's first gin distillery, founded by Daniel Nguyen, a Vietnamese American from Southern California. No matter how many people I have at my parties, we are always pouring Songkhai gin. Songkhai gin is handcrafted in small batches and prioritizes using botanicals and ingredients that are native and heirloom to Vietnam. The result is a product uniquely Vietnamese in taste and aroma. Songkhai is now growing to include rice wine and traditional Vietnamese herbal liqueurs similar to Amaro. Songkhai prides itself in Vietnam, from the farmers who grow the fruits and herbs to the artists behind the artwork and design. Songkhai is a community effort of people who are proud to be Vietnamese and collectively embody the spirit of Vietnam.
So
The phenomenal. How do you pick the people that come on as guests?
I select them because probably I have, I don't know, it's very hard to explain, but it's something probably feeling, intuitive, and something like this. And in my podcast, I had guests Asian and non-Asian as well, non-Asian people coming into the podcast and have a story to tell, because they have a link, they have a passion with Asia, and they can, you know, like there was this guy, he's a French guy from Strasbourg, and he did an art residency in Vietnam for only 2 months, and after that he could speak Vietnamese. You know, like his accent was even better than some French Vietnamese people that trying to speak Vietnamese. And he, thanks to his book, I learned a lot about some food that I didn't know about Vietnam. And he could and he also cooked the Vietnamese food. So he's speaking Vietnamese, he's cooking Vietnamese, and he can tell you some stories about, you know, like historic recipes of Vietnamese
Wow.
dishes. And I'm like, okay, you know, like so I think, yeah, it's a feeling now, you know, like I have more and more people like suggesting me this guest or that guest, etc., because the media is becoming bigger. But nowadays I don't take any more guests because I have many recordings in pending that we need to edit. So I don't want to be, you know, like struggling into all the things that we need to edit. So
Right.
I will go step by step. But I think one life won't be enough for me, like to interview everybody, all the people that I would like to interview.
Yeah, that's a very true statement. You know, people asked me that in the beginning. Aren't you going to run out of Vietnamese guests to interview? I said, I don't think so. This is like infinity. There's so many beautiful people in our Vietnamese global world.
Yeah, and I'm so impressed with your podcast, Kenneth. It's like you started in late 2020, December, and then now you're like more than 300 guests. It's phenomenal. It's like, wow.
You know, I consider myself very lucky because I love people. I love people. I love to be around people. I love to get to know people. I think everybody is like an infinite library inside of themselves. And so I get to speak to somebody like you. Your experience as a podcaster in France is so valuable. It's so interesting to me to hear about your experiences across the ocean from where I am, you know? It's a beautiful, it's just a very beautiful. I feel very lucky and privileged to be able to do the work that I do. So I don't mind doing many, 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 many episodes and continuing to do many, many more because I am addicted to it. And this is the thing that I really love about the world that we live in today.
And it's very fulfilling, you know, like for the
Yeah.
Vietnamese community or even other, like to see and that you offer like that much interview. So for us to dig into it and to be inspired by those different stories, yeah.
Yeah, there are so many inspiring stories. I think I don't talk enough about the business world, the finance world, the science world, the tech world. I think I focus a lot on the entertainment world or the academic world, but there are so many different worlds within the Vietnamese global world. What are some of the things that you've learned in your life from the podcast?
When I interview my guest, somehow it's for my own therapy. You know, like so you are trying to feel something that you are missing.
Yeah.
So most of the time, you know, like I will ask my guest about their relationship with their parents. Why? Because probably because I want to know if we can share the similar, you know, like education with our immigrants' parents, you know? So it brings me, I think, more compassion, to be more compassionate about, let's say, like I was talking about the parents, so maybe about our parents, you know, like sometimes my mom, she doesn't understand what I'm doing. Why would I, you know, like quit my job, a good salary, like my very good life in Thailand, Bangkok, and then going back to Europe, don't have any plan and then starting something that she don't know at all what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
So, but by being compassionate and listening to other people's stories, I can tell to myself, like, she just want to protect me, you know, like parents just want to protect us. And the life they were living, it's not the life that we are living now. So we have now this generation, my generation, we have the luxury to do whatever we want. And they didn't have this
Right.
luxury. They didn't have this privilege. So whenever she's asking me questions, what I'm telling her is that it's thanks to your work.
Yeah.
It's thanks to your courage. It's thanks to whatever you left back, you know, like when you were younger, to build your life in France, that you know, like I'm allowed to do what I'm doing now. So different guests can bring me more compassion,
Yeah.
can bring me also more strength to keep on doing what I'm doing right now, you know, like I will find some answer, you know, like for this guy who started a video clip without any knowledge, without any education in video, but just like watching YouTube tutorials and watching people doing, and it's actually what I'm doing also with the podcast, with my media, like, and having his testimonials, like saying, okay, if you want to do something, just do it. If you don't have the gear, just create some kind of a gear that can do
Right.
whatever you want to do with that. And it's give me the, you know, like the reassurance that, okay, even though I'm not you know, like I don't have everything in my hand, I can try. And whenever I try and whenever it work, I can evolve in something bigger, in something, you know, like, and yeah, so I think I'm trying to finding answer probably for myself and then to share with others. And you know, like, and the thing that really touched me, it's when I receive DM and some people saying, thank you, Linda, for what you're doing, because when I listened to this entrepreneur, I felt, you know, like the you know, like it filled me that I it was the it helped me like to just quit my job because I was in doubt, and then now I will open my cafe, and
Wow.
it wouldn't happen if I haven't listened to it and probably like DM this guy, you know, like to go deeper in his journey for them to start their journey, you know, like, so it's kind of, you know, like creating a bubble,
Yeah.
like an ecosystem where you can reveal your potential. You can reveal something that it's into you, but probably the society, the education, your parents, you know, like cover it and saying, no, you should go this way. This way is better. And then by listening to other stories, you just uncover and
Right.
then make what your purpose is to shine bright.
As I'm listening to this, I hear a lot of community and I hear a lot of things that you learn with compassion. And I can't but help to think about your husband, because if you don't mind talking about a little bit about his work, I'm interested in sort of how much influence you each have on each other from the work that you both do.
The other things that the media brought me is my husband and our daughter, because So when I started like the film podcast, it's someone that wants to help me introduce me to him, and this is how you know like
You met your husband through the podcast?
yes.
Wow, what a beautiful story.
Yes. So he was a videographer, and he still is the videographer of all the episodes. So this is how we met, and yeah, and now we have a baby together. So Benny brought many things actually, professionally and very personally.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. But I understand that
So
he makes movies, right?
yeah, so he makes movies, and what it's very interesting and funny at the same time is that he was living abroad just like me. I was living in Asia and he was living in Morocco, and we came back on the same year, 2020, back to France. And before that, he was not into Asian community. He was not into Asian, you know, like stories or so on. And I was not neither. I was not into Asian stories. And 2020 brought us some sparkles to go through this. So I'm doing, you know, like developing and keep on going with my media to amplify the voices, to tell stories about Asia, Asian cultures. And he's doing movies about Asian communities. And this is the reason why we came to LA, because he has his short that he co-direct with Steve Tran, has been selected to the Viet Film Fest. And I was doing the media coverage so for the Viet Film Fest.
Oh,
So
yes.
we came for the same reason, but different you know, like different perspective. And actually, like working together on those topics, I think it brought us a lot. It complete us a lot, because he has a visual, technical and visual, like he tells story through images. And I'm telling stories to the voices of the people that I interview. So it kind of, you know, like a puzzle that's just come across, and then like, you know, like be together.
Yeah.
I stick together. I don't know like how to say in
No,
English,
you
but
said it perfectly. I understand what you meant.
yeah. So I think sometimes it's difficult because working together and living together, you know, like it can be a bit too much sometimes. So we need also our own space. But I think overall it's brought us a lot. We are challenging our ideas. We are challenging the stories that we want to tell. And going to LA together, it was beautiful as well, you know, like to travel together with our family, with our baby, with his father. And to fulfill together the question that we had about the Asian diaspora in LA, and then to feel and then to find the answers together. I think it's we share, and then I think we should, you know, like value even more, like to have the ability to be a couple and to share this together.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing journey that you get to work and live together and share these experiences of culture that you could then have your daughter see or son see, your children see it. You know, this is all such a beautiful possibility in your life. Now, what does it mean to be Vietnamese to you?
You know, like I feel I'm a part of a big family. You know, like when I was in LA, like meeting this Vietnamese diaspora there, you know, like the Vietnamese in entertainment, we feel like it's something, you know, like very easy, like we are in family, like everything is so flowing, you know, like it's we don't have to do an extra effort. It's there, you know? And I think this is what I feel about being Vietnamese. You know, like the food that we eat the food that we share together, the music that we could listen, or like, it was the first time that I was visiting Little Saigon Food Plot Hall, and I met with Chris from Little Saigon. And the first time that we met, it was so, also like we've met before. It's so funny to say, but it was like family, even though we didn't know each other.
It's
So
so weird that you bring him up. He's a great guy.
yeah.
I literally just recorded him last night, and right now
Oh, wow.
his podcast is live. I just released it this morning
Oh my God.
before I talked to you. That's so crazy. He's such a nice human being. How did you run into him? I'll tell you why this story is important to me, but I want to hear how you met him.
So it's Steve, like Steve Tran, that we traveled together during 2 weeks. He knew about his Instagram account, and he showed me the videos and so on. And then he started to talk to him, and then I was like, oh, okay, it looks cool. Okay, let's see, and maybe see what's it's the Little Saigon shop, and then like maybe meet the guy behind this. And then we went to the shop. He was not there. And then we met, like 2 days later. And it was, yeah, very easy. And I think Chris, I don't want to talk on his behalf, but I feel that he has this kind of purpose that's growing really strong into him to showcase about Vietnam, the culture, like everything about this. And he was not into it before, just like me, and now we have, we cross our path, our journey, and wanted to do this. So it's funny to see us, like from different parts of the world, and trying to amplify the culture, our heritage, our roots. And then he's doing on his way, I'm doing on my way, but we have the same mission. And this is what is very beautiful about it. And we also see each other like many times after that. And it was still the same. Like we were so happy to meet again each other. And then it was we met very incredible people in LA, and like as I told you, the first night, having this long table like organized by Bao, and then you were there, and then like I met so many different people there, and then it's you feel like cozy. I
Yes,
don't know.
that's a good word, cozy. And I think there's so many truths to what you said about Chris. He's a community builder, and he has a true passion for amplifying the Vietnamese story. So shout out to Chris over at Little Saigon Official. He's a wonderful human being. Now, the access point and the intersection of the entertainment industry of both from France when you guys came, and the what you witnessed happened to be on the Vietnamese Film Festival weekend. That festival is so special because 20 years ago, it's the anniversary of 20 years, and Isalay, the founder, started it. And now today, when you attend a festival like that, if you really think about it, there's only like a fraction of the people in the Vietnamese film industry at that festival. There's a lot of people, 90% of the people who are in the Vietnamese film industry is not there, but it's a big event, right? It's a really big event. But if you think about it, there's only a small percentage of the Vietnamese film festival, Vietnamese in entertainment, because they're out shooting somewhere, they're not able to attend. But a lot of people who went to Vietnam to start the Vietnamese film industry came from that festival.
Wow, amazing. Okay.
Many,
I didn't know that. And
many people.
yeah, and I think it's It's a great way to showcase, you know, like
Yes.
20 years. It's amazing, you know. It's a and I didn't know about this festival until Maximilian with his short Malabar won the best short, and then like Chuhip, you know, like had the spotlights with this festival, and then the getaway driver. But yeah, it's an amazing work that's easily, you know, like brought up and with all the volunteers. Yeah, I think it's something that we can even grow, you know, like and amplify even more, and to have more people from different parts of the world to come again, you know, like to this kind of festival. We met the Irish girl who
Irish
won the
Bridget,
best.
yeah, Bridget Enel.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it really can, you know, like how do you say that? Can bring, you know, like new synergies. I don't know, like
Yes,
new,
synergies, yes, new
yeah,
synergies.
new synergies to people at this meeting point.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, I always call Issa Lei the godmother of the Vietnamese film industry, because in the early days you had Charlie Nguyen, you had Victor Vu, Ham Tran, you had all of these big directors in Vietnam that played at the Viet Film Festival that went on to foster careers of Jenny Chang Lei and Danny Do and all of these younger filmmakers that just were the next level. And then those people now, the younger ones, are now the elders that are leading the young community of filmmakers. There's people like Stefan Gauger who directed Isle in the Sparrow and Saigon Yo, and so all of these previous generations came under Issa Lei, came under the Viet Film Festival, got their start there. We all met there. We would attend it and be there every year for the last 20 years. And if we were in
It's
town, we would show
wonderful.
up and network with each other. Yeah, it's such a wonderful. Now we have, people from Ireland and France to come and join. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I want to talk about Janan Holm too. Being from France, I just got to meet him recently about a month ago with his new movie. It showed in LA for a little bit at a private screening. But what a beautiful film he made. Yeah. Janan Holm, the French film director, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, but I haven't watched his movie yet.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think it's out in the theaters yet.
Ah, is
Yeah.
it about? Yeah, okay.
It's about food.
It's about food. I think I saw the movie in the metro, but I haven't watched it.
What are some of the major challenges of your work today?
Probably the money.
That's always going to be the number one
Yeah,
problem. Yep.
I think it's the money, but you know, like the thing is that what is beautiful with Banh Mi, like it's okay. Banh Mi is a podcast, it's a media, and we are doing events, and we kind of build a community, you know, like we have these volunteers who are very active into the different events, like this collab that we launched with Uniqlo, having, you know, like Asian foods on t-shirts. And it's the first time ever in Paris that a Uniqlo shop got, you know, a banh mi on a t-shirt, a pho, a ramen, you know,
Wow.
like a durian, a sriracha bottle, you know, like the spicy sauce. And I think the strength of this collective, this creative collective, is that we stick together, and we challenge together on new opportunities. And then now we're you know, like starting from 2023, we're starting to have like money, you know, like not talking about the crowdfunding from the season two, but that there's brands, there's organization, there's you know, like people who wants to work with us because they are very interested in our audience. Like from now on, We never had, you know, like a media talking about Asia or Asian culture or Asian communities. And I think Banh Mi Media is kind of one of the first. So now, like with all the different social media that we have, we are more than 40,000 people following us. And it's a engaged community that now people are interested in working with us. And also different, you know, like different things. So I think, you know, like I'm telling you, the money can be like the challenge and the struggle, but we are finding a path to go through it and to, you know, like learn from it.
I want to make sure that you understand that I'm extending our openness to collaborate with Paris, with the Vietnamese industry, the Vietnamese French entertainment industry. If you need anything from our side, if we can help out on anything, please let us know with introductions, with resources, or any questions that you have. And I want to say that on the program, because I want our community to have unconditional welcome for all of the Vietnamese global, including the Vietnamese in the homeland, Vietnamese in Africa, Vietnamese in Australia, certainly in France, all over the world, to participate in the idea of unconditional welcome with each other. So
Thank you
as
very much,
yes,
Kenneth.
it is
Thank
my
you. And
pleasure.
I think it's this is where we are all looking at, you know, like through the United States, because the representation of Vietnamese people, this is the biggest Vietnamese diaspora outside of Vietnam. And you have this is what we were talking about with Steve Tran, is that the Vietnamese in America, we look at them and they are like so successful, you know, like doing this, being an entrepreneur, doing that, being a producer, like they are in the film industry, and you know, like you are so advanced in so many points that yeah, and I think there's something that we can, you know, like continue to build with the Vietnamese diaspora from all over the world and connecting the bridges, you know, like bridging together.
Bridging, yeah, bridging together. That's a very good way to put it. Bridging together. That being said, now I have to bridge together my interview with Steve, because that should have happened years ago when Steve and I had talked about getting on the podcast, but now I have to reach out to him. I can't believe I got you on before I got Steve, you know.
Oh,
I feel so close.
no.
Sorry, Steve, if you're listening. I will certainly reach out to you right now after this podcast
Okay.
with
Oh my
Linda.
God, it's so funny.
Oh, I feel so guilty. Sorry, Steve. But Linda, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our time, and learned a lot about the Vietnamese French way of the entertainment business.
Thank you very much, Kenneth. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I'm very grateful that we met in person in LA, and then we finally got to do this episode together. And it's funny that because we have been postponing this episode, and then happened that the next your next guest is Steve. So
He and I postponed a few times. He was on, and then it was a bad connection. But I have to get back on and really work on him next.
I really hope like to yeah to meet again with you in LA, in Paris.
Yes.
If you are in Paris, please let us know, or maybe in Vietnam also. So
Yes, we certainly will. Thank you so much once again, Linda.
thank you, Kenneth.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.